Books one last time tonight, please, and let's turn to number 326. Let this be the prayer of our hearts tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. 326. Let's stand as the choir joins us in our seats tonight. 326. You may be seated.
Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so
Amen. Well, before our message tonight, I'd like to just share a few things with you about the business meetings coming up on September 29th, and so that you can be praying with us, praying about the meeting, praying about what our vision is for the future. I remember, it wasn't too long ago, I guess 6 months or so ago, I came across a little video. We were doing some cleaning in one of the rooms, and I came across a little video from the 65th anniversary of the church. It was back in 1997. And I looked and I thought, isn't it interesting? Nothing has changed in all these years. And I said, unto him be glory in the church, was the very same letters that were there until this past Christmas. And they'd likely still be there, except a couple fell during the Christmas tree and broke, and so we haven't done anything with them. But we want to make sure that we are doing our very best to be able to communicate the Word of God properly going forward. And you know, people today in this day and age are very visual. And so we've been doing a little bit more of that and trying to communicate that way. We put up the message title. We've been putting it up during the morning offering time so that, or in the evening offering time as well. I believe they have anyway, and they've been doing that. Some folks are saying they're having a hard time finding their place on time, so we put it up there to try to help. We'd like to be able to use some things that during our teaching time on Wednesday nights to be able to put up some things. And so part of our strategy or part of our vision is to better communicate God's Word. Now, having said that, I have sat over in this corner when we've had guest preachers and such, and I find it very difficult to see the screen as it is. That screen is from 154 Maple Street. It's about 30 years old, and you can tell because of the shape of it. Nothing is that shape anymore. Everything is more widescreen, if you will. And so we've been looking in pricing, and we're still working on budgeting, so we're not going to give you all the prices tonight. But I just want to give you an idea of what we're looking to do. We're looking at putting screens on either side. That would help facilitate. So when you're over here on this side, you're naturally looking at this wall anyway, and vice versa. I don't like the eyesore of the screen right in the middle. If we're on internet or television, all you people see is the screen, microphone wires hanging in front of it and causing shadows and such. And so we want to clean that up and make it nice. We want to do some renovations to the front end of the auditorium as well. Nothing has changed up here since the building has been constructed. The only thing that's been added is the wood trim, as far as I know. And I say that, some of you say, well, you've only been here 3 years. I grew up in this church. I moved in. I was here on the very first service of this building. And so I do remember what things look like. And so we want to spruce things up, make it nice, and that we might honor and glorify the Lord in what He has given us. We've been very careful over the last few years to do a lot of repairs in the building. You know, the unfortunate thing about repairs is you put all this money into it and you never see it. You know, the flat roof costs us well over $100,000, but nobody sees the finished product. And so now that we have a lot of those repairs done, we actually want to invest in some areas in the church that'll make it more attractive, nicer. We'll have a better sound quality because we're looking at some reflective panels off the back walls that will improve the sound. We understand that with the digital sound, this building wasn't built for the kind of speakers they have today and sound systems they have today. And so everything bounces around. So we want to eliminate that, and that will help a lot of people that have any hearing issues whatsoever. It'll help you hear a lot clearer, a lot better. Even now, standing where I'm standing, I can hear myself about a half second later coming back at me. I don't like hearing myself the first time. And so we want to improve some of those things. And you say, well, why is that necessary to invest all this kind of money? Well, first of all, we want to do our very best to present the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if God has blessed us and we are faithful stewards of what He has given us, we want to make sure that we're investing it in His house. This is His house. And I think He ought to have the best house. I think I've told you before, I remember in Hamilton, folks would say, oh, we needed a new dustpan, Pastor, so I went to the dollar store. Have you ever used a dollar store dustpan? It's like this. Everything goes underneath of it. It doesn't work. And I preach the message, don't give God your junk, give Him your best. And so we want to do our very best to be pleasing to the Lord and invest and make sure that we have something that's going to last us for another 30 years. We don't want to invest a little bit of money today and then a little bit of money in 3 years, and a little bit more money in 3 years. We want to do it right the first time. And so we have consulted with very talented people that make it their business to make things look nice, make things sound nice, and so that we can do all that we want to do to bring glory to the Lord. It'll help us anytime we have an academy presentation with the Living Christmas Tree. It'll help us every time we have a missionary in to present their ministry a little clearer and with with more dignity, really, as we consider how important the work is that they're trying to accomplish. And so let me encourage you to do this over the next few weeks. Pray with us as we are putting some finishing touches on a budget. We want to share that with you. I'm going to say this. I don't have a final number, but I do know that it is expensive. If you've ever renovated in your home, you know how expensive renovations can be, and this is probably 10 times the scale of any room that you might do. And so keep that in mind as we're looking at this. I'm hoping and I'm praying that any number we come with that will come in a lot less than that. That's what my prayer is. That's what my hope is. And so would you pray with us about that? We have laid this out before the deacons, and thankfully we have some very talented men that are deacons as well. Mr. Tyrrell has spent 100 years, I guess it was, in construction and renovations. And so, actually, it's just his 56th birthday this week, we heard, so it couldn't be that long. But, that has been a help to us as far as thinking this through and understanding what the cost was. And I was thinking we would be right here in the cost, and Mr. Tyrrell says, oh, I think you better have a look at that. And so we appreciate that wisdom. And so we're not just putting phony numbers up here. We've actually researched it and had professionals in to look at it for us. And so please pray for us as we consider this. I think it'll be very exciting. And our prayer is, here's another prayer request. Our prayer is if Bethel Baptist Church votes in favor of investing this money and doing these renovations, our prayer is that we would have an unveiling on our anniversary services this year in November. And so that's what our timetable is. And I think it'll be an exciting thing for everybody. And I just think you'll make your time of learning the Word and our music and our worship time just that much more fulfilling as we incorporate some things. Listen, I want you to understand, what I put in that little letter today, I mean with my whole heart, our heritage is the preaching of God's Word. We're not going to change that. We're not stepping away from anything like that. We're not trying to change. We're not going to go liberal with contemporary music. We're not bringing in rock bands. We don't want to do any of that stuff. We want to bring glory to the Lord in all that we do. But what we want to do is we want to enhance the preaching and the music ministry that we do have, that we might do our very best to bring glory to the Lord and to communicate God's truth to God's people. So please pray with us about that. I'm excited about it. I think it's time after 33 years here now, and it's time for a facelift, and it's time for some just to move forward and look to some new things. And so I appreciate your prayers in that. Pray for our men as they do the heavy lifting as far as pricing, and we're going to need workers too, by the way. The first week, again, based upon your approval as Bethel Baptist Church, the first week is there's a lot of tearing down to do of drywall and such. We're going to get rid of all that 1970s popcorn is part of the plan. And so if you say, well, I can't, I'm no good at anything, I'm not very handy, you're perfect. We need people that can wreck things. So please come and help us on those nights. And so that's part of it. You have to tear down before you can build up. But we are going to need people to help. And so please be in prayer about what you can do to help us through that time. All right? Let's take our Bibles tonight, please. Turn to the book of Philippians. I want to say this also. If you have any questions or you're interested in seeing perhaps we do have some drawings. They don't translate very well up to the screen. You would never see them. They're done on white paper, and you wouldn't see it. So that's why we don't have a picture up for you tonight. But if you would like to see that, please come and talk to us, any one of the deacons or myself, and we'd be happy to show you some ideas that we have and some things that we're looking at going forward. And we have a very talented decorator in the church, and I know that as far as that end of things, it'll be spectacular, and I'm sure that'll be pleasing to the Lord. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, this morning we gave you the warning about warfare. The battle is very real. I would dare say that if anybody left here this morning doubting that the devil was real, he reminded you that he was there. And I don't say that because the Lord was trying to back me up. I'm just saying that's just the nature of the devil. The devil is seeking whom he may devour, and he's doing it 24/7. And if you were to say, no, I don't believe that, and let your guard down, there's no doubt he would sneak in and try to take advantage of that situation. So I hope that you are keenly aware tonight of the battle. I hope that because of your keen awareness of that battle, that you're a person of prayer, that you're a person of the armor of God. And so tonight we're going to talk about God's armor and wearing God's armor and how important it is. And so there's already been established we're in a battle. But the battle that we face is right at our front door. It really is. It is invading our lives, and as the enemy develops strongholds, it seems, unfortunately, often God's church and God's people just learn to live with them. I think that's true. A lot of times we just adapt. And really, we shouldn't. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are carnal, and we're to pull down these strongholds. And yet, it seems like a lot of times they creep in slowly, and now they've become a fixture. And so rather than cast them out, we justify them, live with them, and say, well, you know, that's just the way things are today. I would suggest to you that we need to get back to an old-time Christianity. We need to get back to a old-fashioned Bible. And tonight, as we look at this illustration of the Roman soldier, and I was thinking about this as I was studying this afternoon a little bit, that, you know, some might question, why would you make some changes to the auditorium and why would you put up screens? Well, we want to be relevant. And I don't say that in the sense of being modernistic or modern in any way, but I want to be relevant to today's society. And as I read Ephesians chapter 6, I see the Apostle Paul was relevant to his society. Because he talked about Roman soldiers. And he talked about their armor. And we look at that and we say, well, what's it mean to have your loins girt about? Everybody that Paul was preaching to knew exactly what that was. He was relevant. And so we will strive to be relevant to our society as well by preaching the Word of God in a way that they can accept it. Somebody said this, I believe it was Pastor Holman that travels and preaches across Canada. He says, I like it when they put the gospel right on the bottom shelf where I can reach it. And that's what we want to do, is make sure that we can, it's achievable, it's reachable for everybody. And so that was just thrown in. That won't cost you anything, all right? Ephesians chapter 6. The battle that we're in, the Bible says we're to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful to be called your children. We're thankful, Lord, for that means somebody had to die and pay the price for our sins. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus, who took upon himself the sins of the world and shed his blood. And without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission of sins. So we praise you tonight for having the love of the world enough to send your Son to die for us. And Father, tonight you've asked us to beware of this battle that is going on. You've asked us to make sure that we are looking all about and putting on our armor and making sure that we are aware of this fight. And so tonight we're going to look at that armor piece by piece. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us understand how important each one is. And to leave one off leaves us vulnerable. So I pray that the Spirit of God would help us and teach us tonight. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know tonight that for this spiritual battle that we are facing, there is a defense. And like I said earlier, that it seems like as things come upon us and things begin to invade in our modern society, sin begins to creep in, and we've just allowed it to stay at times. Because it's easier just to work around it or to tolerate it than it is to actually deal with sin. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't relish dealing with sin. I don't relish having to confront somebody and say, listen, we need to talk. We love you, but you're killing yourself here. Sin is destroying your life. And it's been my experience that most people don't appreciate that even more than I dislike telling them. They don't want to be rebuked. And, you know, as much as you can pray and as much as you can rebuke them in love, people just don't like it. But the Bible says that if a man have aught with his brother, he's to go with him, go to him. The Bible says if a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore. And so as much as I don't like doing it, we need to do it. We need to confront sin. I would much rather stand behind the pulpit and just preach on sin. Preach the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you preach the truth of the Word of God, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit begins to convict in lives, and they get angry at you and think that you know all about their lives. And you didn't know a thing. I remember one time in particular where I had taken some teenagers camping, and when we came back from camping on the Saturday, on Sunday morning, I preached the Word of God, and the father of these two teenagers stood up in the church, and he pointed his finger at me. He says, "I'll meet you in the throne room." Just yelled it right out in the service. So after the service, we went and we met with him. I said, what's going on? And he finally said, he says, "My kids must have told you all my sins because that's what you preached on this morning." I said, "I'm going to tell you this." I said, "There was never a time this entire week that I was alone with any of your children." I said, "They were always in groups with the girls, and the boy was with all the boys." And I said, "We'd give devotions to them, but there was never a time where I got to sit down and talk one-on-one with your child. And let me tell you, they're not going to talk about those things in a group." I said, "I didn't know any of this." The Holy Spirit began to convict his heart. Well, I'd much rather do that because then I know that God is speaking. Amen? It's nothing to do with what I'm doing. It's not me having to confront somebody. Instead, the Holy Spirit. And the funny thing was, is the things he was upset about, I hadn't even preached on that morning. The conscience had been attacked by the Holy Spirit. And praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful. I've noticed in times in my ministry where there's been issues, and I think, "Oh boy, I've got to go deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to tell them that. I don't want to have to confront them." And boy, it's uncomfortable. And so I go to the Lord in prayer, and wouldn't you know, just a couple days later, it's taken care of. It wasn't long ago, just here in the church, it wasn't long ago, there was somebody that had an issue, and I thought, boy, this is a problem. Pastor Lake was here visiting, and he noticed it too, and he came to me, and he said, "Brother," he says, "this person was talking to me, and he says, there's something wrong here." And I said, "I know it." I said, "It's bothering me. We need to pray about it." We went in my office and prayed about it. 2 days later, that person came and apologized and said, "Pastor, I've been involved in this, and I'm going to get it right." I said, "Praise the Lord." I didn't say a word. Man, isn't it wonderful when the Lord takes care of these things? But you know what the Bible says to us tonight? The Bible says we can do some preventative things. You know, it's a whole lot better. Somebody said this, and I totally disagree with it. It's easier to apologize than ask permission. Well, that's the world's philosophy. That's sometimes, I think when I was a teenager, that might have been my philosophy. Well, mom and dad don't know, won't hurt them. And if I get caught, I'll just apologize. Boy, that's the world's philosophy. I want to say this to you tonight. It's a whole lot better to stay out of sin than get caught in sin and try to get out of sin. And so the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. There is a defense against these attacks. There is a defense against the devil that is roaring about, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to notice tonight as we read in the Bible says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The first part of the soldier's armor that we're going to talk about tonight is the loins being girt about with truth. And of course, the Roman soldier comes to our mind quickly. There's a picture up here. And just behind his shield, you can see that he's wearing what looks like a skirt. That's not a skirt at all. It's a coat of mail, and it's made of metal, and it covers the body from the waist to the knee. And the Bible says that that's an area that needs to be protected. And likely it was pulled up to about where the belly button is, and so the waist would be considered from there to the knee. And there's vital organs that need to be protected. If you were to get speared or hit with an arrow in that area, there's no doubt that it would make your liver quiver. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some vital organs there that need to be protected. And so the Bible says tonight that when we are in this spiritual warfare, we need to protect ourselves like that Roman soldier. But what we gird our loins about with is truth. Truth. Now, it's interesting because the Bible tells us what truth is. Jesus Christ was praying to his Father in John chapter 17. And he said this. He said, "Thy word is truth." Truth is truth. So we are to have our loins girt about with truth. He said, what is truth? Jesus Christ identified his Father's word as truth. Not only that, the Bible also says in John chapter 14 that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I said, wait a minute. Jesus said he's the word, or he said he is the truth. And then he said to his Father, your word is the truth. Well, which is it? Can we have two truths? Well, you sure is, can, because Jesus Christ is the word in the flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the Bible says, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. So the word is truth, and Jesus is truth. That's what we're to protect ourselves with. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he said this. We need to understand that the truth shall make you free. Well, it protects you. Do you know this, that there's a relationship here between truth and our first defense against the wicked one? Do you know that when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember the facts? You know, you understand what I'm saying? When you tell a lie, you've got to remember the facts. You got to keep the lie straight. But when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything because it's the truth. And that's our first line of defense against that. Do you know that the devil is just the opposite of that? The Bible says he's a liar. He's a deceiver. What was the very first glimpse of that devil we got? Yea, hath God said. Casting doubt upon the word of God and lying to Adam and Eve. Listen, the Bible says we are to protect ourselves with our loins girt about with truth. The devil is a master of words. He is a liar and a deceiver. But friends, when you get yourself inundated in God's truth, when you are surrounded by the word of God and you know that, listen, don't just read it, understand it, know it. I'm going to say something that maybe you won't understand or like, but let me say this. Sometimes people get those Bible reading schedules. Maybe you've got one, I don't know. And they read that Bible through and they say, well, preacher, guess what? I read my Bible through this year. Yeah, but did you understand it? Are you comprehending it? Are you getting it? Boy, I'd rather you take a chapter and read it 100 times and understand it. Get the Word of God in your heart, because that's your defense. Do you know what Jesus did when he was attacked by the devil? He quoted the truth to him 3 different times. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The truth of God's word was his defense. You say, why is that recorded in Scripture for us? Because it's our example. You say, well, how do I defeat the devil? Get the truth. He's going to try to twist it. He's going to try to turn it. He's going to send the cults after you. He's going to whisper doubts into your ear, but you stand upon the truth of God's word and it'll defend you. It'll make you right. What's the second thing tonight? We got a few, so let's move quickly. The Bible says, as we read on in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now you'll see on our picture tonight that we have a breastplate. And it kind of looks like me without my shirt on, doesn't it? Not even close. Well, boy, he looks like muscular, doesn't he? All the muscles ripped on his stomach and his pecs are solid rocks. That's not really him. That's a breastplate. That's a piece of metal that is there to protect his chest. And what's behind the chest? It's the heart and the lungs. Now, this I know. When I was 10 years old, my appendix ruptured. And I got that appendix taken out. Now, I don't know, but I didn't know that God made us with spare parts. But apparently, you don't need your appendix. And I've lived another 31 years, and I haven't missed it. Now, every once in a while, if I lift something pretty heavy, sometimes it kind of pulls right there a little bit. I don't know if it's weak tissue or what. But I haven't missed that appendix. But I tell you what, I'd miss my heart. And I'd miss my lungs. Pretty hard to breathe without lungs. So God says we need to have the breastplate of righteousness. We need to be protected. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. The Bible says out of our heart flow forth the issues of life. Guard your heart. When we see this breastplate tonight, I want you to notice from the Scripture, it's not just any old breastplate. It's the breastplate of righteousness. That's different. You see, because the Bible says that all my righteousnesses are but filthy rags. Boy, can you imagine? Think about this now. If I wanted to protect myself with my own self-righteousness, I'd be covering my chest with filthy rags. Does that make sense? Because the breastplate of righteousness, he said, well, where do we get this righteousness then? I mean, it's called the breastplate of righteousness, but my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. How would you protect yourself with just filthy rags? They're just thin and arrows would go right through them. Matter of fact, they're not just arrows. They're fiery darts. They burn. Because it's not your righteousness this is made of. Remember, this isn't your armor. This is the armor of God. Take upon the armor of God. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is a protective piece of armor that God gives you when you're walking with Him and living for Him. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. You found your place? Look at verse 10 with me. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says we are to look for His righteousness. We are clothed in His righteousness. We are covered in His righteousness. Romans chapter 4, if you're back in the New Testament, just flip over there quickly. In Romans chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 7, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Do you know that when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing God did for them was He made a blood sacrifice by killing some animals and He covered them. Do you know when God made that Ark of the Covenant, He laid down in Exodus chapter 32 what they were supposed to do? They were to make it out of gopher wood and they were to cover it in pure gold. You say, why would they do that? Why, you know, why couldn't they just maybe cover the outside? No, they were to cover the inside and the outside. Because gold represents purity. And that was going to be the place that God met with man. And it had to have a covering. You couldn't just use that dirty old gopher wood that might represent earthly and sinful things. But instead, we cover it with purity. The Bible says when we got saved, we were clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's your breastplate. Don't take that for granted. God has given you that to prevent the attacks of the devil against you. There's another, if we'll keep reading tonight. The Bible says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible doesn't say have your feet shod with the gospel of peace, but with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, what's that mean? Well, I know this. When we are getting ready for church or school or whatever, any other thing, it's usually Bethany that I'll have to say, Beth, you got your shoes on? Because with Beth, it takes a little bit more time. You understand what I'm saying? Teenage boys, they don't untie their shoes. They just slip them on. They kick down the backs, and we got to buy a new pair in 3 months. But little girls, they got to tie every little knot just right, every little bowl. And so, inevitably, Beth, you got your shoes on? And she'll say, no, I haven't got my shoes on. Next time I'll say, Beth, you got your shoes on? She'll say, yes, I'm ready to go. So when you got your shoes on, you're ready to go. Is that the last thing you put on when you get ready? I don't know, Jim. You put your shoes on before your pants? You do? That makes it difficult. I'm going to talk to your dad. No, nobody does that, do they? Really? The last thing you put on is your shoes. You put your shoes on because you're ready. The Bible says, I want you to be prepared. The preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, always be ready to give the gospel. Have an answer for every man. Let your speech be always seasoned with salt. That we can be ready to give an answer. preach the gospel. And you say, well, what does that do? Listen, when you're busy preaching the gospel, you haven't got time to get in trouble. I heard a preacher say that. He says, you know what? He says, in the last 2 weeks, he says, I've preached every single night. He says, I was asked to preach at this place, and I preached at a camp on this day. And then and every day I had to preach somewhere for 2 weeks. And man, am I ever tired. But he says this, you know what? I haven't gotten in trouble in 2 weeks. Boy, it keeps you busy serving the Lord. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just keep busy for God. So have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That phrase means we're to always be ready to share Christ. Always be ready. Have them right on your lips, on the tip of your tongue. The Bible says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There's a promise attached here. Those that have their gospel shoes on, ready to show Christ to the world, are given a special defense. Isn't it interesting that part of the armor is just being ready to share the gospel, being ready to give the word? Now, that goes back to study again. You can't give the word of God unless you know the word of God. Somebody comes and asks you a question, you should try to be able to answer them. Now, I don't think there's a shame. Somebody's going to ask you a tough question someday. And by the way, people ask foolish questions. Does Adam have a belly button? Well, who cares? That doesn't matter. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I don't know. Sounds like an egghead question to me. Don't get caught up in the foolish genealogies and all those things that the Bible talks about. Don't get caught up in that. But when somebody comes and says, how can I be saved? How can I have the hope that you have? Boy, I hope you can give them the Romans road or give them the gospel. So be ready. Have your feet shod. The Bible says that God gives us a defense against Satan's attack. It's part of the armor. Look at the next thing. The Bible says, as we read on in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, the Roman soldier had two types of shields. This is one that he would carry, and maybe not carry them all the time, but depending on the type of battle that they're in. But this shield is about 4 feet high. And literally, a soldier could hide his whole body behind it. He just ducked down behind that shield, hide himself. And so sometimes if an invading army was shooting arrows into the air or whatever they're doing, they would have one man down like this and another holding one over their heads and protect themselves. And so that would be a full-length shield. Other times they'd use those little round ones. And they would strap it on their arm. It'd have two different straps. And it'd have a spike on the front, kind of like that. And so they'd have their sword, a shorter sword, not a sword like that, but a short sword. And so when they were in close combat, so if they were jumping a wall or into a trench, they could fight with the sword and they could hit with the shield back and forth and injure their opponent. I don't know about you, but I want that shield. If I've got arrows and spears and swords coming at me, I want the biggest shield I can get. I don't want little skinny Roman shield. I want a big one, amen? That's why I like this big old pulpit. You know, if I preach something you don't like, I can crawl right in there, amen? I want a shield. I want something that protects me. And the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of what? Faith. I kind of think it's like this. Your shield's about as big as your faith is. You got a small faith, you don't have a lot of protection. But if you believe that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the general of any battle that you're fighting in, then you've got a pretty good shield. The Bible says above all. Does that mean it's more important than others? No. All the armor is important, but the shield, the Bible says, shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, well, if there's a fiery dart coming at me, I'd like it to stop out here at the shield. I don't want to take a chance that's going to hit my breastplate or hit me in the neck or hit me somewhere else. I'm thankful for that shield. I'm glad that it's the first line of defense. But it's based on your faith. How big is your faith? Let me encourage you tonight, grow your faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can grow your faith by getting into God's word, by hearing the preaching of God's word. I think it's important to, when the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, I think you should listen to those CDs and tapes of old Alexander Scurby reading the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing. We hear it. Well, I tell you what, have you ever listened to the word of God while you've read it? You seem to get so much more. And so grow your faith and build your faith. That's how big your shield is. And then the last one's in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, the helmet of salvation is essential. Now, lay aside for one moment the spiritual thinking, all right? Physically speaking, if the Canadian government called today and said, Alan Fury, you've got to go to war. If that's what they said, if I had no choice, we're going to pick you up, we're going to drop you into some war zone and you're going to have to fight, you get to choose one piece of armor. I think I'd probably choose a helmet. I thought about that today. I've been thinking about that. I think I'd probably choose a helmet because, you know, I'll take my chances getting shot anywhere else, but I don't want to get shot in the head. That's the life force in my brain. I mean, you know, and some of you probably think, well, he doesn't got much life force then. But that's the center of reasoning, the center of emotion. Do you know that if you don't have a brain, your heart will stop beating? That's what tells it to beat. We learned this in the hospital over the years through hospital visits and stuff. The doctor told me this. He said that when somebody is dying, he says, the brain stem is right here in the back of your neck. He says, that controls your heart and your lungs. He said, that brain stem will literally shut down every other organ in your body just so that it can stay alive and keep your heart and lungs going. He says, the liver might be shutting down, the kidneys are shutting down, everything's shutting down, but your heart will still be beating. Because that brain stem just fights for life. You can live without a lot of things. If I get shot and I lose a spleen or lose my gallbladder, I hear you can still keep going. I might have to take a pill the rest of my life, but I can keep going. But if I get shot here, there's no life at all. It's over. The Bible calls it the helmet of salvation. Friend, if you're not saved, there is no life. You're dead already. But there's good news. You don't have to stay dead. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made you alive for those that would trust in him. Listen, if you're going to have life at all, you must be saved. You must know Christ. Take the helmet of salvation. We're not going to look at the sword of the Spirit tonight. Those are weapons. They're not defense. We'll look at that next Sunday. But I want you to consider tonight these pieces of armor that we must use to protect our lives. Let me ask you tonight, do you know Christ as your Savior? You can go to heaven without a lot of things, but you can't go without salvation. You must be born again. It's an essential piece of armor. It's that helmet that protects the spiritual life. Listen, think about this, young people, tonight. I want you to think about this as we are thinking about a helmet. A helmet protects the head. Do you know that every influence in your life comes through your head, either through your ears or your eyes? Boy, you need to put some guards up. Protect your spiritual life. He said, what about this armor? Is it really all that important? I want you to notice as we consider the scripture as a whole tonight that you'll notice that each piece of armor is a spiritual piece. It has to do with a spiritual battle. When the Bible says we are to put on the whole armor of God, I don't walk down the street and I don't run into Brother Jim or anybody else and say, wow, that's a nice piece of armor you've got on. Man, I like that. I can just see if you get the helmet, you're going to get the one with the big red. Amen? Yeah. We don't do that. We don't see the armor. It's all spiritual. But it doesn't make it any less real. You know, faith is believing in those things that we do not see. And listen, let me tell you, if you're going to have any type of armor, this is what you need right here. It may not be visible to the eye, but let me tell you, when the devil looks at you, he can sure see it. Because he's a spiritual being. And he's looking you up and down. He's saying, okay, let's see, where can I get him now? Oh, look at that. Their faith shield is pretty small today. And that breastplate of righteousness, boy, they're running from the Lord right now, and they've got a lot of sin in their life. Loins girt about with truth, ah. They haven't been following Christ, they haven't been reading their Bible. And he attacks. But if we can be clothed in the armor of God, we have a defense. And each one of these defenses are real as they are spiritual. And let me say this, you will be tested. If you leave tonight and say, well, I just disagree, I don't believe there's an armor, then your faith is pretty small and you're going to have a battle on your hands. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you this, we're all in a battle. And we need to make sure we have that spiritual armor on, and each one of them is important. You might be able to survive, but you're not going to have the abundant life that Christ wants if you're wounded deeply by Satan in one of these areas that he calls us to protect. Let's be a people of faith, let's be a people of the Word, and let's find out how God's righteousness will protect us. Let's pray. Father, teach us tonight, Lord, more of a just teaching through these our armor tonight, these items and articles of armor, and I pray that you'd help us to understand what each one of them means and how we must live godly in Christ Jesus if we are going to have your protection. We thank you for providing it for us. We thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is just have that relationship with you. You're the vine, we're the branches. We just have to be engrafted with you, Lord, to be protected. And Father, I believe that there are days coming that we're going to need all the protection we can get. So God, I pray that you help each one of us to take up that armor tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's